Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Let's get started. This is our launching pad verse for this teaching we've been doing. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 14, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." Now, we've been talking about that God intends to teach the preaching of the kingdom of God in the end times. And some would say, well, listen, we've had the king to preach in all the world already. No, we've had the preaching of the cross accomplished in all the world. Everybody's heard about the cross, that Jesus died for your sins, and most have heard that you can be born again. But God wants to take it another level, to teach us how you can go past the cross, that the cross was a transition point. You can go past the cross now that you've been born again and start functioning out of a higher kingdom, out of a higher place with God. And God is pouring out in these end times understanding of this kingdom. I've been running to and fro with moving kids and motorcycles and everything else and meetings. Yesterday I said, I'm going home. I'm going to go upstairs and put the headphones on. I'm just going to seek God, and I'm not moving until I hear from God. I probably spent a couple hours, I guess, just in that one spot. And as I'm just worshiping God, He starts downloading into me some stuff about this end time preaching of the kingdom. And I really didn't connect it to this message we're doing. He was just telling me about things to come. But it all has to do with what He wants done in His church in the end times. I'm telling you, God has plans for us in the end. Turn over to Ephesians. Chapter 2. All right, Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, this whole book of Ephesians just is phenomenal. In fact, I just felt led of God just to stay in Ephesians today as He was just showing me stuff that we don't understand how much is intended of God to be manifested by the church that's revealed in this book. And He says, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, so many people have this mindset, someday when we die and leave this physical body, we'll get to sit with Jesus. We'll get to go to this higher place and we'll be able to rule and reign with Jesus forever. But that's not what the Scriptures say. Now, there's coming a time when we'll be in heaven and there'll be a ruling and reigning period. Are you following me? But here it says we're already made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ. We're already there. Your spirit man has already been given all power and authority. In fact, he spends most of the book of Ephesians talking about just how much power has been given to us. But then I saw this as I read this passage, and I don't know why, I've never seen this before, but it jumped out at me today. Verse 7, "that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." He says that in the ages to come He might show this to us. Now, Paul often talked about how God was revealing to him mysteries. He says, "I show you a mystery, amen, we shall not all sleep. I reveal to you a mystery hidden from ages and generations, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory." He talked about how God had called him to unveil the Old Testament and show us, you know, what the Word intended for us to, you know, that we were intended to walk in the Word. We can decipher that one later. But he says, here's an amazing statement. He says, "but in the ages to come, He's going to reveal the exceeding riches of His grace." He was saying, I believe by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was speaking through Paul, saying, there's coming in future ages even more than I know now. Do you follow me on this? For in the ages to come, I looked up that phrase, I looked up the Greek wording in it. The word ages means eons, which is periods of time. But the word in the ages to come means a coming event with specific purpose. That there are ages coming, Paul was saying, that God's going to reveal even more than I understand today. Oh, praise God. And I believe we are in that age, God's revealing the fullness of truth. At least the fullness of truth needed for the church to rise up and manifest His glory. God's revealing more to the church now, I believe, than He ever has in all of time. Because He's got a bride He's got to raise up into glory. Amen? And He's got to accelerate everything that's being done in and amongst us to get us prepared to carry that glory. As I was sitting talking to the Lord yesterday, He showed me the river of God. And in fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. And I've shared this passage many, many times over the past probably 23 years, if not more. But I'm going to teach it differently today, at least leave off some parts I usually have covered in the past and go into some additional stuff tonight. Verse 1, Ezekiel 47. Now here Ezekiel's caught up in a vision with God. Amen? He says, afterward He brought me again unto the door of the house. Now he's being led by an angel that's giving him a tour. He led me unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then He brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way under the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Now here He's at the house of God, and waters are coming out of the house. God intends an outpouring to take place in these end times. Amen. In fact, the outpouring has been being released over time for the past 2,000 years. It says in verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand, this is talking about a measuring line, a measuring string, the man that had the line in his hand went forward eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. He measures out 1,000 from the house, and 1,000 cubits out, the water is now ankle deep. Amen. How many know you can't do a whole lot in ankle deep water? You can bend over and take a drink. You can splash around, but that's about it. Again, He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. He goes on another 1,000 cubits. Now the water's knee deep. Again, He measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Now it's waist deep. You can do some stuff in waist deep water, right? I mean, you can swim in waist deep water if you want to. Not a whole lot of, you know, excitement there, but you can swim if you want to. You can go underwater. You can't go underwater in ankle deep water. You can go underwater here. And so it's getting more and more of an experience that you can be immersed in. When the water's waist deep. It says again, afterward He measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen waters to swim, and a river that could not be passed over. And He says unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Now it's probably been, I don't know if I have it written down anywhere or not, it's probably been 25 years ago. Somewhere in that range. I was reading my Bible. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting in Lexington in my recliner in the living room reading this passage. I was reading through it, through the Bible. I got to Ezekiel 47. And I started reading about the river. And we're going to read more about the river as we go, how it goes out into desolate places and heals everything. And I'm reading about this river. And the Lord takes me back to my childhood. I was raised in Kansas when I was young, and in Kansas they always talked about the pioneers that settled the West, you know. Everything in Kansas was about the pioneers coming through. And, you know, I grew up right off the Santa Fe Trail. I mean, we went by it all the time, you know, the different passages were across the highways and stuff. And I said, someday I want to be a pioneer. It was just in me. I want to be a pioneer. I mean, 7 years old, 8 years old. At 9 years old, I leave Kansas, and we moved to Alabama. And there was we moved to the foot of Montesano Mountain in Huntsville, Alabama, and there was a creek ran right back, right off the back of my house. We're at the foot of the mountain. I mean, we're the last houses, you know, in town before the mountain. Now they built on up the mountain a little ways. And this creek ran off the mountain right behind my house. My goodness, I was excited. I can explore this creek. And so sure enough, we'd you know, pack our little knapsack or paper bag with our mayonnaise jar of water, you know. Back then you had a mayonnaise jar full of water. Anybody remember that? And we'd take off, me and my friends, we'd go up the creek, exploring the creek, and we got clear to the end of the creek. It wasn't very far. Came out of some springs on the side of the hill, you know. And we ended up trying to explore the mountain. The point is as much as I explored, everywhere I went, somebody had already been there. I mean, I'm exploring the mountain, I'm going up this creek, we get into the creek, we go up the side of the mountain, and I'm thinking, we're someplace nobody's ever been. And I look down, there's a Budweiser can. I remember seeing it to this day. It's like God fused it in my mind. And then I wanted to be going to space and be an astronaut, you know, but boldly go where no man's gone before, Star Trek. And I realized I couldn't even ride the cup and saucer at the fair without throwing up. And how was I going to pass that astronaut training? I'd always see him spinning in that centrifuge, you know, there's no way. So I gave up on ever being able to be a pioneer. I just wanted to pioneer. And I was reading Ezekiel 47. I was probably 35 or so. And God says, that desire you always had to be a pioneer? I said, yeah. He says, I put that in you. This is where God's just visiting me. In fact, can I just ramble some tonight? As I was sitting yesterday, I had my iPad there, and God started reminding me of different words He's given me, different visions and different dreams. I mean, I've had many visions from God, many dreams that God had given me, many words, and more than I could count, more than I can possibly remember. But there's been key ones that were where God just showed up and said, this is the way, walk you in it. Like, quit your job or you'll die. Are you following me? Where Jesus walked in my living room and started talking to me about the end time glory. And I started writing down these different areas. I didn't write down words where God gave me a word for somebody else, or, you know, I had a word of knowledge. No, but where God gave me a word, something critical for me, or something about the water tower of glory, you know, that kind of thing. And I wrote on close to 30 major visitations of God I've had over the past 30 years. And I know I don't have them all. I believe He's going to keep adding to it. I started writing them down. And of course, one of those was this time He showed up and He said, I put that in you to be a pioneer. And if you will trust me, I'm going to have you pioneer my end time river flowing from the throne of God. This is 25 years ago. I wasn't even in revival yet. And I said, God, I'll do it. And He started showing me, He says, I'm bringing outpourings in the end times beyond anything anybody's ever seen before. And if you will follow me, I'm going to let you see stuff and explore stuff man has never seen. Now, you talk to the average Christian about this, I think, who do you think you are? This is crazy. This is pompous. But then I read a verse today that's been in there for 2,000 years that where Paul said in the ages to come, He's going to reveal to us. I'm going, yes. And so yesterday, I'm sitting there just worshiping God, and He started speaking to me. He reminds me of this river. And I see a vision of the river. And there's a guy standing next to the river. Now, I don't know if I saw this yesterday or if this is just what God's been bringing to me all day. But I have an image of a man standing next to the river. I've not been able to get out of my head all day. Of a man standing next to the river standing next to or on top of a wall, sitting on a wall, watching the river. I mean, he's there for the river. He's watching the river. And the Lord said, oh, help me phrase this. So many are willing to watch the river go by. They're willing to see what the river produces, but they're not willing to get in the river where it's necessary that you learn to swim and go forward in the river and be a forerunner in the end times to see just what I'm pouring out. If you can follow that. And he says, I need you to go all in getting into this river because I've got stuff I want to reveal in the end times that man today cannot comprehend. This outpouring of the glory that's going to take place is beyond anything we have ever comprehended. And he started showing me. He didn't show me details of it. He didn't show me, you know, specifics of it. He just started showing me the awesomeness of it. If I can explain that, what he was showing me in my heart was the awesomeness of it. And it was way beyond anything we're doing today. Way beyond just building a nice church. Way beyond just going to services and, you know, putting in your time. That it was an outpouring that was going to radically, totally turn upside down every operation on this planet. Is anybody with me tonight? And so I wrote down, as I was getting it, just a piece of it, if I can read this to you. And then I'll try to speak to it. The outpouring is not just an edifying word that makes people feel good about themselves. Now he started showing me the hyperchurch being the absolutely 180 degrees out of phase with what he's going to do. I wasn't even thinking in this realm, but he started showing it to me. It's this end time Ishmael thing. It's not going to be just an edifying word that makes people feel good about themselves. It's not just to pet men's souls, to tell them to accept their current bondage as acceptable, and that grace covers their refusal to advance spiritually. Shall I read that again? It's not just to pet men's souls in order to make people feel good. It's not to tell them to accept their current bondages, whatever they might be, as acceptable, and that grace covers their refusal to advance spiritually. The one that sits watching the river go by is not advancing. The river's going by and he's seeing things happen and he's telling everybody about what's going on. He's posting on Facebook, this is happening, but he's not going with the river. Do you follow me? They refuse to advance spiritually. There's a reason this place isn't packed tonight. The Lord said it's a revelation of a kingdom manifestation represented by anointings that heal and deliver. This outpouring is going to heal and deliver everybody that will allow it. I'm talking about totally. You know, we talk about little things today about, you know, rejection and fear and anxiety and, you know, this thing, you know, having a hold of us, whether it's smoking or whatever, you know. And God says, that stuff's going to be blown out of the water by this end time outpouring. The bondages will not even be able to come close to what you're going to carry. And here's a key statement. It's not going to be because you're so almighty powerful of yourself that's going to happen in your life. It's just because you're going to position yourself and go after God and trust Him to bring it on you. It's coming by grace. It's not because you work for it. But it's going to be because you do believe God for it. And you refuse for things to hold you back. You just outright refuse it. So he showed me that the hallmarks of this outpouring are going to be the healings and deliverances that take place. It's going to be a refreshing restitution of all things that involves the release of God's glory. And he says we must believe in and learn to function in this realm. That it's here. He's making it available. He's just saying, now who will go beyond that transition point and move into it and be willing to explore it? See, so many people want me to explore it for them. Pastor Jack, go explore the river for us. Come back and tell us what it's like. Kind of like they told Moses, you go up the mountain, you talk with God. Come back and tell us what he says. And I understand that's an assignment I have. I have an assignment. And I love it anyway because I love exploring. Amen. I just love it. I love going and finding stuff up and come back and saying, look, you ought to see what's up here. So I understand that's part of what God's called me to do. But there's a calling on your life that only you can explore how to do it by the anointings. Do you follow me? God's got something you. He wants you to seek Him out for. God, what wonderful thing would you have me do, be involved in? How can I involve the anointings? Help me to explore in my life, my personal situations. How can I go deeper in your kingdom than ever before? And the release of the power of God we're at now does not touch where He's taken the church. Now I know this sounds total. I'm having to check my soul right now to see if I can grab a hold of this. And I've been preaching it for over 20 years. But He showed me such an awesomeness yesterday, it stretched me. Can I believe that? Now we've talked about the anointing, you know, emptying hospitals and mental institutions, but I'm talking about living in an anointing that just requires you taking steps to go after knowing God. Now, let me talk here just for a minute for some things that are trying to hold you back from it. First of all, when I saw that cloud of glory, was it been 3 or 4 years ago out in the parking lot? God said, you're on track to go into the glory. Don't get off track. Y'all remember that vision, right? Saw a cloud of glory in the parking lot, sitting right here, right there. And God said, don't get off track. I saw railroad tracks going from my feet into that cloud. Don't get distracted. Since that time, every distraction in the world's tried to raise up. Amen. Just found out my oldest daughter's, we just moved to Tennessee a few weeks ago. Now we're moving to North Carolina next week, or 2 weeks, I guess. She's taking another job. And those things you have to do. But take the time you do have and get on track. So there's the distractions we deal with. The enemy's trying to raise up little fires, little foxes, spoil your vine, get you frustrated, get you burdened down, get you bogged down, get you full of care, fear, whatever, to keep you out of going after God. And I'm not talking about fasting 40 days and 40 nights, no food or water. I'm talking about just having a relationship with God where you say, God, show me. But then there's some other stuff that is there right now to hold you out because I've been feeling it. And it seems like it's intensifying in its level. When is that spirit of slumber? You're wide awake till you open the Word. And all of a sudden like, I guess I didn't get enough sleep last night. You know, I need a nap. And you're out. And it's trying to steal your Word time. It doesn't happen to you to try to pray or read the Word. There's a spirit behind that. And another one is, if I can have words, help me, Lord, with words to describe this. There's a spirit when you try to sit and pray or just sit and read that starts to get you antsy and reminds you of all the things you need to do. That wants to get you, you know, my goodness, did you fold the laundry? Did you wash the car? Did you do this? Or nothing else. Maybe it's not that, you know. You just feel like you can't focus on the Word and it's just like, what's the point? Let's go do something else. And it's trying to tell you you're wasting your time reading or you're wasting your time praying. But it comes with an anxiousness with it where you feel like, I can't break through. And I'm telling you, don't move. Keep reading, keep praying, your breakthrough's right there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a spirit behind that. I remember feeling that spirit. My goodness, when we first became Grace Ministries, that would have been 92. I remember sitting on the couch and feeling that spirit just trying to interfere with my focus. And I broke through, and I've not felt it at that level since until here recently. Now I try to read it, it's like I got this distraction in my mind trying to be pulled every which way I'm trying to read. And I've got to force myself, no, you're not going to get off the Word. Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to get you off the Word. If you're going into this glory outpouring, I want to show you what you need to do. Take your right hand. Grab your right ear. Now pull it and say, flesh, we're going in and you're not stopping me. If you have to, confess Isaiah 50, verse 3 and 4. Write that down if you need to. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now, I probably misquoted that a little bit, but it just basically says God's opened my ear, and I'm not rebelling against it. I'm not turning back. And tell the devil you're not going to stop reading the Word. In fact, if he tries to do that, say, not only I'm doubling up today, devil. You try to stop me, I will double up my word time. Flesh, you try to go to sleep, I'll double up my prayer time. Because God's looking for somebody to get off that wall, get in the water and start swimming. It's amazing what I used to be willing to do, fishing on that creek against the current. You want to fish walking upstream when you're fishing for smallmouth on in creeks like that. Because if you're fishing walking downstream, it's easy to walk downstream. The current's behind you, helps you right along. You kind of just pick up your feet and go with the current. But the problem is all the silt you stir up, all the stuff goes and tells the fish there's something up there. And you're not catching smallmouth or leery fish anyway. Any smallmouth fishermen here? They're not going to bite if they know you're there. So you always go upstream as much as possible. And I can remember forcing my way upstream, through some heavy current. I'm going, bless God, I'm getting out of the hole over there. If I saw a nice spot where I thought there'd be a fish, I'd cross rapids to get to it at times. I don't know how many times I got washed downstream, just tumbled. Everything I took was sealed in Ziploc bags. Because I knew I was going to get wet. I didn't come to stay dry, I came to fish. And I'd fight the current to get to where I wanted to go. Well, I'm telling you what, God's wanting some people to fight these spirits holding you back. And if you'll just do your spiritual exercises, you're going in and obey God. So I can't sit here and tell you that if you want to sleep around and watch pornography and you do drugs and all this stuff, you're not going in. It doesn't work like that. I'm not going to tell you if you just, live like you want to and, ignore God's leading, you're going in. It's not going to work like that. The Bible says the bride's made herself ready. And God's got a group that have said, I refuse to lose to darkness. I refuse to bow down to the works of the enemy. And I'm going to pioneer this river. I'm going to find out what God's doing. If I'm doing my job, often when I come behind this pulpit, I should say, God showed me something new. Not trying to make something happen. Not trying to look impressive. God gave me something new. God, I have a new revelation. No, I'm in trouble if I try to do that. But I'm telling you, where God's taking us, there's going to be new stuff come out. I remember 27 years ago, Pastor Callahan, first time I heard him preach, starts talking about an outpouring of revival, about cities of refuge, and about how God wants everybody healed. I never heard that before. I'd been to church for several years. They always told me God wanted you sick to teach you a lesson. You follow me? And he's saying, no, Jesus paid the price to heal you. By his stripes you were healed. I never heard that before, that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. It was new revelation to me. In 1995, Pastor Phillips started teaching about in Frankfurt. I just started going to church there. How we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'd never heard that before. I thought I was a sinner saved by grace. I mean, been in revival, been in faith, but I thought I was still a sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Changed my life. Now, that was not a new revelation. E.W. Ken was teaching it, 80 years ago. But it was new to me then. And then we have, here in the past, 15 years, God saying, I want to raise up a wealthy church. I want to bankrupt the devil. And my goodness, how many people freaked out over that? I knew the church was after my money. We're not after your money. We're after the devil's money. If you're not working for the devil, you should be okay. Amen. If you're working for the devil, pay me now, pay me later, whatever you want to do. God intends to take the finances from the kingdom of darkness, because he that has the gold makes the rules. And God wants to establish his glory on the earth versus the devil, spreading darkness everywhere. And so, there's always going to be new revelation coming forth. This thing about the revelation or the outpouring or the revival of love, I believe He's raised that one up and saved it for last. But we've not even begun to step into it. I'm talking about a love that brings in the harvest, destroys all fear, destroys even the fear of death, allows us to walk in the fullness of God's glory. That's all coming forth in these end times. To a people that refuse to sit on the fence. Because if you sit on the fence and the water's flowing, everything's going past you. And you're getting behind. You want to get in the river and go with the flow and go as fast as you can to get on the leading edge of it. Amen. God is calling us. Here's some more of what he told me to write down. At least what I felt led to write down. God is calling us to go beyond survival, help me, and bless me mode. Now there's a time, as a Christian, you're just saying, God, help me, save me, deliver me, fix me, bless me. But God said he's calling us way beyond that level. Of just, getting by, surviving. He wants us to go into seek me out and my kingdom mentality. He wants us to put on a mindset of seeking out the kingdom in the end times. He wants us to pioneer the depths of his goodness. There's a mentality you put on when you become a faith Christian. There's a mentality you put on when you just become spiritual. I mean, you have a God with us mentality, right? I mean, we've had the book that, sold so many copies, Practicing the Presence of God, which is a good thing. But where God's taking us, that's baby steps. JD, welcome to the crib. We've got books that tell us, formulas for receiving from God. We've got teachings that tell us, how to manifest a word from God or whatever, his presence. And I'm telling you, what God was showing me is, that is such beginning levels where he's taking us. Now, when you really become, just to say revived, you put on a God mentality. If you're a revivalist, you think about God all the time. You don't go anywhere you're not thinking about God on some level. I mean, you go to the grocery store, God's still on your mind. You see everything under the filter, what God's doing. Everything you do, you're wondering, you know, is this something God wants me to do or not? You have God on your mind. When you become a faith Christian, you're always saying about what you're going to do by faith. What's my confession? Am I saying the right thing? Did I say the wrong things? I bind those words. I release those words. You know, I believe I've received. I believe I've received this and that. And you're thinking faith. But I'm telling you, what I was seeing yesterday is God's raising up an end-time church that's thinking kingdom. Not just accessing a piece of you know, God's system here, applying some aspects of the of His system here, but actually thinking, functioning in the kingdom. See, we've learned some of the ABCs of kingdom operation. We've learned you come to church, you praise God, His presence will show up. We've learned you sow a seed, He'll bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold. We've learned, you know, believe you receive, you command the mountain to be removed, it's got to obey you. We've learned forgiven, it shall be forgiven you. We've learned these keys of the kingdom, some of them. But to function with a kingdom mindset pulls them all together and says, I'm going to do it all and live in this realm. I'm going to live in the realm of worshiping God. I'm going to live in the word of speaking the right thing. I'm going to live in the word of sowing, being us not just sowing seed, but becoming a sower. I'm going to live in this realm. And God says, those that put on a kingdom mentality are going into the glory. I didn't leave you guys behind on that one, did I? I'm talking about just think kingdom. You know, when Aaron does worship, he's not thinking, okay, my next song is, how do I transition? He's thinking, where's the anointing? How do I piece all this together and all these voices and all these giftings? How do I piece it all together to go into what God's calling me to do right now? We're to have that kind of kingdom mentality in our life. And had this attitude, now God, what are you going to show me today? What are you going to reveal to me today? What are you going to show me when I get to church? Did anybody come tonight wanting a word from God at church? I believe you're getting one. And God's saying, now, get a hold of that hope and go after it. Go back to Ezekiel 47 if you're not there still. Let's go to verse 5 again. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen waters to swim, and a river that could not be passed over. Now here's an aspect of the last day outpouring. It will not be able to be ignored. Right now, we've got miracles taking place in our churches. Apostle Cahalan just got back from Peru. He's sharing with the miracles that took place there. You talk about miracles. They had the one boy he prayed for last time he was there. And the doctors had told that he only has like a month to live. He's got a brain tumor. And he can't even hardly move because of the pain and the danger and everything. Don't let him move fast, especially don't let him run. And he prayed for the young kid. This has been, you know, 6 months ago or so. And he came back and they brought the kid and they says, they took him back and the tumor's totally gone. And the teacher called from school and says, can you get your kid to quit running? He's running everywhere all the time. Totally healed. And he shared of miracle after miracle that took place. Now you would think people would say, wow, there's the outpouring. Let's go hear about this. But in the same meeting he's telling me about the outpouring of the glory, I mean this outpouring of the power of God, and healing is a sign of this outpouring. He says, I've also lost like 4 families to hyper-grace churches. How do you do that? How do you go to a church where there's an outpouring and I'm going to shift to a church that just makes me feel good that I can sit on the fence and do nothing? Because you don't want to grab that ear and make it adjust positions. You don't want to challenge the flesh and make it, you know, get off the couch. You think Jesus died to put you on easy street. Jesus did not die to put us on easy street. He died to make us conquerors and give us access to the power to let us overcome. Amen. Once you overcome, then you get to share the spoils. But no kingdom ever turned their spoils over without a fight. Or the threat of a fight anyway. Amen. And so, we thought, years ago, we thought once the healings start kicking in, because we prophesied these healings. I mean, to over 20 years, we're talking about someday we'll see all these miracles take place. Because we weren't seeing them 20 years ago. We prophesied someday we're going to see everybody healed in the prayer line. We thought that was the most ridiculous statement ever. I'm telling you. Everybody healed. How ridiculous. Well, the people thought it was ridiculous. They quit coming to church with us. They're crazy. They think everybody's going to be healed. Guess what? Now we're seeing everybody healed. It's very common, if not the norm, that everybody in a prayer line gets healed. 20 years ago, that was outrageous. And only those that could dream it stayed the course to experience it. And now when I'm telling you about an outpouring that makes where we're at look tiny, there'll be people say, I just can't receive all that. That's craziness. Then go your way, because those that will determine if it's in the Word, I'm going to receive it, will move into it. Because God's opened the doors. He's saying if you just stay the course, you'll move into it. But you got to believe for it. And we thought when the miracles and healings took off at the level they're at now, multitudes would flock to our churches. It's been almost the opposite. Seemed like the more miracle power we see, the fewer people want to come. And it boggles my mind. The people want to go to a dead, powerless, non-manifesting church that's easy versus battle their way through the covenant, you know, attacking devils to go where the power is. Here's the key. I'm after truth. And the Bible says these signs shall follow those who believe. That's a sign of truth. I'm going where I see the manifestation. So here we are at this outpouring level we're at now. I don't think we're in risen waters get over our heads. I think it's probably waist deep. Just using this as an example. But it says they're going to raise up and it's waters that cannot be ignored. I believe there's coming an outpouring of this glory that just doesn't produce results. It produces an atmosphere that people cannot ignore. That the water of the glory is so surrounding our souls that you know God's in the house. And he says, Son of man, have you seen this? This is my question tonight. I saw it yesterday. I saw it sitting there. I saw the river. I saw the guy sitting there. And God's basically saying to me, do you see it? Are you ready to advance up this thing? And I'm asking tonight, do you see it as I'm talking about it? Do you see there's a place we're not at yet that God says, if you'll go in, you'll get there? We each have decisions to make. Are we just going to try to live our life out and see what the river brings by? Are we going to get in this thing, develop a kingdom mindset, and swim as hard as we can upstream and get to the leading edge? Let's read on through here. And verse 6, he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. The word brink there is the word speech or mouth. Oh, glory to God. God's going to take you. It's all going to come back to your speech. What are you saying? Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. How many were trees of righteousness planted by the rivers of living water? Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. Now what he says is these waters are going to the sea. Now these waters are coming from the throne of God. This is the glory of God being poured out. Do you follow me? When you read the word seas, it means the multitudes of people. And he says, when these waters go forth, they're going to go to the sea. And when they come to the sea, it says the waters will be healed. It's talking about the seas. When this glory gets to overflowing level, the multitudes are going to get healed by it. I'm talking about an outpouring of the healing power of God, deliverance power of God, that we're going to have thousands, if not tens of thousands, come in or more, that are just going to be touched by the power of God and be set free instantly. When I saw that water tower vision, you know, way back, and it opened up inside was a city of glory. It wasn't a church of glory, it was a city of glory. God intends for His glory to come out on regions and transform regions. And not just when we build some nice big churches, have some fun meetings. I'm talking about it transforms the way people think. Because when the glory is poured out, when the glory is poured out, people will develop a kingdom mindset. They'll have a kingdom awareness. The glory is going to produce it. And what I'm telling you tonight is God saying, I need my people to get a kingdom awareness and expectation now, to have that mindset now of where they're going, so when they come to church, when they go out and they pray, or they get in the Word, that their mind's already tuned to that frequency of the kingdom so I can impart some stuff to them. You know, you take two tuning forks at the same frequency, and you tap one and this, and you get the other one close, they both start vibrating. Ooh, right? Why? They're at the same frequency. And I believe God's saying, get your soul over into kingdom mindset frequency. And as you do, there's stuff I'm going to bring into you that's going to be harmonized with where you're already seeing to take you into the manifestation I have for you. Don't lose you guys with that one. Changing the way we think to be an expectation of something greater than we've ever dreamed. You know, as I think over the past 20 years, what we've done to get where we're at, I told you I was going to ramble tonight. When I think over the past 20, you know, we've been Grace Ministers for 22 years now, of what we've done to get to this point. In fact, we were Grace Ministry before we ever became Grace Ministry. So it's been 27 years that Pastor Callan's been imparting to us. And back then, nobody was being healed. We'd have a prayer line, might be 50 people in the prayer line, and nobody would be healed on the spot. We'd just say, go in faith. The Lord bless you. Well, a lot of times, we wouldn't even think of asking anybody to check for pain. Because, you know, they're going to say it's there and you're going to be embarrassed. Our favorite line was, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And nothing wrong with that. Are you following me? That was just our statement all the time. And hardly anybody was being healed. A healing, if somebody got healed, if you had a bad back healed or a headache healed, it would stand up and testify the church time. Man, I came to church, had this bad headache, and they prayed for me, man, headache's gone. It'd be spread through the city by noon, you know. Got healed with a headache. Now you guys, I shared in a meeting yesterday, one of the most things I'm most excited about in my church is the people in the church are going up praying for people and they're seeing people healed. Billie Jean called me on the phone Tuesday morning, and said she had a nurse she was working with that was in a lot of pain. She was crying and she went up and said, you know, I'm not going to ask her if I can pray for her. I just hugged her and I commanded her to go in Jesus' name. Commanded the pain to go. And when she let go of her, the other lady says, it's gone. The pain's gone. I had kidney stones and they're gone. That excites me. I mean, kidney stones, heal of kidney stones, that had made the front page papers of the church at one time. Now it's becoming commonplace for us. The point is, when I think about the level or lack of manifestation we saw 27 years ago, based on what we see today, it's a whole other realm. We tend to take it for granted. They all got healed. Okay, well, whoopee. When's the buffet close? There was a time, if we'd have had as many people healed as we do normally here, you know, when we have a prayer line, we'd have never shut down church. We'd have went all afternoon. Just praising God for the healings. And that's not a rebuke. It's just talking about where our expectation level is now. But I think, what did we do to get here? You know what we did? We fasted. We prayed. We prayed in tongues a lot. Went to church faithfully. And keep speaking the vision. And here we are. There was nowhere we had God show up in a flock of angels and appears to us and say, as of this day, thou art now my sent ones. Never happened. We never had a day of Pentecost where the Spirit came in as rushing mighty wind and we're all transformed and all of a sudden now here we're healing people. It was a progression of faithfulness for over 20 years. That's all it's been, is just being faithful and never letting go of the vision we had. Well, I'm telling you, that's how we're going into the kingdom. You cannot be defeated if you do not quit. Don't stop advancing. Keep doing your spiritual exercises. Keep going after to know God. Get alone, quiet with Him. Refuse the distractions. Refuse for those spirits to make you anxious and not read the Word. And refuse flesh to take you out. And guess what? We're going to what I just described. We're going to the cities of glory. They're going to be there. The question is, who's going to be on the side of the river watching it go by and who's going to be up front bringing it to pass? You know what? This may just be pride. I don't know what it is. But if I'm out with a group of people and we're exploring and one of them comes running, come look at this, I'm not so much excited about what they're wanting me to look at because they already saw it. I want to be right up front there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to be the one that God shows stuff to first. Or that at least I'm on the front edge of what He's doing. That I'm not lagging behind because the flesh has got me into delay mode. Kind of like that cell phone commercial, right? Remember those cell phone commercials from a few years back where it's talking about slow service? And, you know, the guy's at the table with the romantic girl and the girl says, you know, I just want to tell you that I love you. And he goes... And she gets up and leaves, you know, mad, and he goes, I love you too. It was a delay. You find a delay, he didn't speak quick enough. I don't want to be delayed in this thing. I want to run through the waters where I can and swim as fast as I can when it's too deep to run in. Amen? And I know I've got to be the one. I determine the pace. God said it's open. Now, how much do you want to go after this thing? Now listen, don't get condemned if you don't have 47 hours a day to read the Word and pray and everything. I'm just saying stay faithful. Stay faithful where God has you. Seek God to show you the river and develop a kingdom mindset. Keep in front of you where you recognize we're going. Back to Ezekiel 47. He says the waters are going to go into the sea and the sea is going to be healed is the proper wording. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because the water shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh. Now, I was not reading Ezekiel 47 when God started showing me this vision. I wouldn't call it a major vision. I just saw the guy sitting by the river, and he starts talking to me about it. But what he started downloading to me was this thing of the outpouring of life. Was that there's going to be such an outpouring of God that the life and the power of God is going to be poured in such measure that it's going to cause everybody to be transformed. We're all going to become transformers. Just know this. I'm Optimus Prime. Leader of the Autobots. We're all going to be transformed by it. At least those that will, you know, get in position. There'll be the religious rebellious that will fight it. Those will stand back and say, I'm nice, name it and claim it. I want nothing to do with that. The tongues of the devil. They're not going to mess with it. But those that are just saying, hey, if God's real, you know, I want to know. I believe the life of God is going to be poured out with healing and deliverance and life and joy and peace in such a concentrated fashion that the multitudes come from far, your sons and daughters come from far, and the church explodes. Son of man, have you seen this? Waters that have to be, that you must swim in, that cannot be ignored, cannot be crossed over. You're not going to jump over it. Not going to bridge over it. You got to go through it. That's where God is taking us. Verse 10. Well, did I miss something? Yeah, go back to verse 8. I left something out here. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. That was something years ago jumped out at me. The waters go to the desert. What is it we would say was a common attribute of a desert? There's no water. No rivers in the desert. Amen. God said He's going to bring rivers in the desert. But He said this river is going to desolate desert areas. Now water in the Scriptures represent the Word of God anointed by the Holy Spirit. It represents a move of the Spirit, right? The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The word, the only word, comes on the multitudes. And he says, this water is going to the desert where apparently there's not been a move of God before. Now people think, oh yeah, maybe it's going to go to the Sahara, maybe the Kalahari, maybe to a palm desert area in California needs it. When to God, desert is where there's been no move of the Spirit. Welcome to the desert. God wants to bring the anointing on cities that have never seen an outpouring before or never this level before, or at least have become desert since then. He's going to take back religious strongholds. Amen. I once was talking to God about this desert thing. Where's the water going? You know what he told me? Wherever my people take it. See, there's no riverbed in the desert. So wherever we go and carry the river, because we're going to be on the leading edge, we're guiding where the river goes. The river's going to follow behind the leading edge revivalists. And where we go and where we set up camp and where we develop this kingdom mindset, the river's going to follow through and bring the change. Scripture talks about Moses. Children of Israel were crying for water. You know, we have no water to drink. And so God tells Moses to strike this rock. And he strikes the rock, and out of the rock flowed a river. I'm talking about out of a rock flowed enough water to feed, you know, to water 2 million people and all their livestock. And it kept on flowing. Now, here's an amazing statement in your New Testament. I'm not going to take time to turn there tonight. First of all, because I don't remember exactly where it's at. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, or 10. But it talks about the rock in the wilderness that followed them. And that rock was Christ. How many know Israel didn't stay in one spot for 40 years? They moved all around. But it says that rock followed them where they went. Wherever they set up camp, that rock was there. You talk about a miracle. I'm just quoting you the word. So where Israel went, the river followed. And God said, where I send you, I've got a river in these end times is going to follow behind you. And it's going to bring the transformation. The outpouring of the life of God, the healing of God, the deliverance power of God. I'm blessing myself if nobody else. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it. From En-Gedi even unto En-Eglim, they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea exceeding many. Now that's a whole verse I could spend quite a while teaching on. We're run out of time, but I don't care. I'm going to keep talking. The fishers are the evangelists. And for the past 2,000 years, most of our fishing's been done with hook and line. And a three-color track. You know, we try to lead a few people to Jesus or one at a time to Jesus, and that's all good. But God showed me years ago that through the love of God, through the anointing of His love, He's going to start harvesting in multitude as with a net. And He told me Jesus at the beginning of His ministry told Peter, let down your nets for a draw. And it was so much the ships couldn't even carry it. At the end of His ministry, after He's risen from the dead, He says, let down your net on the other side of the boat. And they bring in 153 fish of various kinds. And here we see that the fishers are going to put forth nets to bring in the harvest of every different kind. That's an aspect of this river proceeding forth. Are the multitudes being saved, delivered, healed, and illuminated? And I want to be right in the middle of it. Verse 11. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. The miry places won't be healed. They'll be given to salt, which means dead. Salt in high concentration kills everything. I believe it's talking about the religious. Now again, I've been on rivers and creeks all of my life, fishing, you know, all the time, exploring them, whatever. And I know where the miry places are. The miry places on a creek are next to the bank where there's no flow. Or even worse, the most miry places you'll find is if you're following a river or a creek and there's a little inlet. Maybe a little, you know, cut in the bank, and that looks, oh, there's going to be a lot of fish over there. Oh, yeah, look at that spot. And you'll step over there, and you're going to sink up in the mire up to your waist sometimes. Because all that dead stuff collects where there's no flow. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And it's where people not in the center of the flow end up. It's where all the debris gets washed. And I'm telling the people that want to sit on the side and watch it go by versus get in the flow of what's going on are going to end up in that mire. There's another area that I've ended up in the mire in the past. Talking about fishing, not spiritually. And, you know, you're following this creek, and the creek's never going a straight line. Rivers never going a straight line. And I'm used to wading the creeks. And the river back home. And these creeks wind. And they'll wind this way, and then they'll come back here and wind over there. And you'll think, you know what? I think I can take a shortcut and get to the other spot. And you decide to get out of the center of the flow, and you go to the edge, and all of a sudden, next you know, you're in the mire. because you wanted to take a shortcut. God's got a way to proceed in this kingdom. And I don't care how much you think you understand the grace of God, there are certain things you have to apply in your life to get there. Word, church, and prayer, and obedience. And there's no shortcuts. And so here he says, not everybody's going to make it. There'll some be get caught up in the mire. Get off the bank into the center of what God's doing, and you'll escape the mire. Verse 12, and by the river upon the bank thereof, and on one side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Again, he's talking about all this river is going to provide for us. This river is the outpouring of God's glory. When he's measuring out 1,000 cubits from the throne or from the sanctuary, that 1,000 cubits, how many know if I pour a barrel of water out here, in so many seconds it'll be, you know, so many feet away, and so much more time it'll be so much more feet away. As he's measuring out, represents the passage of time. This is time passing. And he's saying, now normally if I poured a barrel of water out here, the further in time, it gets shallower. Do you follow me? If I pour it out here, it'll start off being, you know, a foot deep, and, you know, 10 feet out, it's going to be 3 inches deep, and you're just going to trickle on out. But this river, the further out you go, the deeper it gets. And God says, as time progresses, I've got a progressive revelation I want poured out that are going to take my people into this kingdom manifestation mentality. It's going to take them to the place the outpouring can actually manifest. Because God can't manifest very far beyond our expectation. We won't know what to do with it. He's raising up a people that will see beyond where they're at spiritually now, recognize what the Word declares, and say, I'm targeting that. No matter how silly it seems, no matter how ridiculous your actions seem, you refuse to get off of it. Now here's the thing. I mentioned, you know, we haven't done anything phenomenal in 27 years to position us for where we're at now. Other than this, I would say in the past 27 years, I've probably prayed in tongues 10,000 hours. I would guess at least, if not two or three times that. 10,000 hours. I mean, an hour a day for a year is 365. 10 years, 3,000. Almost 30 years, you're up to 10,000. And I often pray more than an hour a day in tongues. And 10,000 hours of dobro sata karabasi. And the whole time, I mean, for 30 years, the devil's saying, you're making it up. You said that. It's not doing anything. You need to go wash the car. Your wife wants the light bulbs changed. She's having a meltdown because there's a bug in the house. Dobro sata karabasi. 30 years, nearly, of just doing what to the natural mind seems ridiculous. But now I get to raise the dead. Now I get to see miracles take place. Now I get to see the glory poured out. But you know what? If it takes another 10,000 hours in tongues, kabrasatasi, I'm going to see the river of God poured out into the desolate places. I'm going to see cities of glory raised up, and I'm going to be right in the front edge of it. Because you can spend 10,000 hours in tongues, an hour a day, or you can do 10,000 hours of Oprah. She was on like 25 years, right? Of course, that was 5 days a week. I mean, 5,000 hours of Oprah. Which produced? Do you follow me? Or, you know, Jeopardy and Let's Make a Deal, whatever it might be. You can watch television for an hour, you can pray in tongues an hour. What's going to get you progressing? What's going to produce nothing? But you rarely ever have a devil attack you and say, that Jeopardy show, that's too much over your head. Those people are so smart. Why are you even watching this show? You ought to go pray in tongues. Go pray in tongues. You'll waste your time watching Jeopardy. You never hear that. You only get attacked when you're doing what's going to produce. Amen. Let me see if there's anything else I want just to close with. This thought hit me earlier tonight. Were you ever on the interstate and there was a big traffic slowdown? Barely moving, maybe for 2 miles you're barely moving. You think, my, what's going on? Is there road construction? What's going on? And you get there and there's nothing except an accident in the median. And is everybody slowing down to look at the accident? How many besides me that aggravates? You're holding up 2 miles of traffic because you want to see an accident. People will slow down, shift their attention to look at an accident on the interstate. We will not slow down and take steps to pioneer the river of God. It's no wonder many are called and few are chosen. I'm going in. How about you? Father, I thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, our minds, and our understanding, and you cause us to rise up and fulfill your high calling in our lives. You take us to kingdom mindset to believe for your outpouring and to take steps necessary to stay on the leading edge of what you're doing. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen and amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'd be glad.